Shalom Aleichem. This is part of a series of videos produced by Yeshiva University, Torah Mitzion, Beit Midrash, Zichron Dov, for learning in advance of Tisha B'Av, to put ourselves in a proper frame of mind, as well as on Tisha B'Av itself. Each video is on a portion of Torah which is connected to Tisha B'Av and which is traditionally studied on Tisha B'Av. And I've chosen to study Iyov for this, based on a Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara says that we are not supposed to learn Torah normally on Tisha B'Av, because Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev, Hashem's laws are righteous, they gladden the heart. However, the Gemara says that there are certain passages one is permitted to learn, and one of those is the book of Iyov. And actually, what I wanted to talk about is why Iyov? Why is Iyov appropriate reading for Tisha B'Av? The simple reading of the Gemara is that Iyov is not enjoyable. Iyov doesn't make you happy on Tisha B'Av. And I think that's borne out within the book itself. This is a book of suffering. This is a book of misery. There's suffering on Tisha B'Av with the Churban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and there's suffering in the book of Iyov. Iyov, without going into the entire story, starts out as somebody of great community standing, with a beautiful family, with great wealth, and he loses everything. He loses his children, he loses his health, he loses his estate. Everything is taken away from him. It's a simple association. Suffering here, suffering there, and that's the link. There's even parallel between the imagery of suffering and of grief in Echa, about Tisha B'Av, and in the book of Iyov. So that if you look at Echa, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud, chapter 2, sentence 10, in Echa, we're told that the elders of Tzion, Yeshvula Aretz, they sit on the ground, Yidmu, they are silent, they put Afar al Rosham, dirt on their heads, and Chagru Sakim, they wear sackcloth. When we look at Iyov in the first parak, the first chapter of Iyov, we're told that Iyov, Vayikras Mi'ilo, he tore his garment, Vayagaz Es Rosho, he pulled his hair out of his head, or he cut his hair from his head, by Yipol Arza, he falls to the ground. And then even stronger, when his friends, at least their friends in the beginning of the book, come to visit him, they cry out when they see him because they can't believe that this is their friend. They can't believe his suffering. And Vayikra'u ish mi'ilo, they tear their garments. Vayizriku afar rashayhem, they throw dirt on their heads. Vayeshvui tola aretz, they sit on the ground with him. And ein dover elav davar, and nobody speaks. So that you have these elements of grief and mourning expressed in terms of sitting on the ground, in terms of silence, in terms of what is done with one's head, whether putting dirt on one's head, as the visitors do, or whether pulling his hair out, as Iyov does, and chagru sakim, and wearing sackcloth, or tearing one's clothing. So there are links in the imagery. There are also links in the idea of being alone, which is seen in both of them. In Echa, Echa Yashva Badad, how is it that she's alone, abandoned by her friends? And Iyov, throughout the book, complains about how he has lost his friends, how those who had admired him now degrade him. So that theme plays out in the books as well. So you can say there are links, there are superficial links in terms of the story. There's suffering and there's suffering. They're both miserable reads. There's grief and mourning in both places. There's abandonment in both places. But the problem that I hit is that there's also a fundamental difference between the two in terms of the underlying narrative. Meaning, on Tisha B'Av, the narrative is, we've done something wrong. We have sinned, and that's why we suffered. Right in the first parak, in the first chapter of Eicha, Chet Chata Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has sinned, and that's why this has happened to her. Sadiku Hashem, Kifiyu Marisi. Hashem is righteous. I rebelled against his mouth. I rebelled against his word. And when you consider that we associate Eicha with Yirmiyahu, that makes sense, right? Yirmiyahu spent an awfully long time warning the Jews that they were sinning, and this was coming as a punishment to them for their sin. But when you look at Echa, at Iyov, you don't see that at all. Just the opposite. The book of Iyov begins by describing Iyov as Ish Tam V'Yashar Yirei Elokim B'Sar Meira. He is Tam, he's complete, he's Yashar, he is righteous, he is Yirei Elokim, he is God-fearing, and he is Sar Meira. He stays away from evil. And indeed, Hashem himself describes Iyov that way, just a few sentences later, adding in the phrase, Ein Kamohu Ba'aretz, there's no one as great as him on earth. There's no one better. I'd love to be described that way. You're the number one. Yirei Elokim, Sarmei Ra, Tam V'Yashar. This is great. He's wonderful. And no, he doesn't seem to be suffering for sin. And yes, it's true. There are those who will try to find weak points within Iyob. But the whole point of the book, the whole message of the book, is that this is not suffering because he's done something wrong. This is not punishment at all. And that's seen from beginning to end within the Sefer. In the beginning, when Hashem compliments him in this way, at the end of the book, when Hashem turns to the visitors who have told Iyob that he is suffering because of his sins, and he says, "You did not speak properly of me as Iyob did." It's Perek Mem Beis, chapter 42, Pasuk Zayin, sentence 7, and Iyob knows it. Iyob declares repeatedly in the book, such as in Perek Tet in chapter 9, "Tamani, I am complete." He says, I know this isn't happening to me as punishment for sin. So now I don't understand. Why are we reading Iyob on Tisha B'Av? On a day when we're meant to recognize divine justice in our suffering, isn't it strange to read a book about suffering which is not a function of punishment at all? So I'd like to suggest a possible connection, despite this disparity between the two. And the connection is in the way that we respond to suffering. What is Iyob's response to suffering? We already saw that he declares himself innocent of sin. But he also appeals to God, desiring a relationship with Hashem. You know, the book begins as a test of humanity. The book begins as humanity on trial. Can a human being do good, not in order to get prizes, not seeing Hashem as a piggy bank, but simply because I am loyal to God and I do what God wants me to do? I have a connection of some kind with Hashem. That's the way the book begins, with that test. And Hashem holds up Iyob as an example of somebody who does good, not because he's going to win valuable prizes, but because he has that connection. And indeed, that's what Iyob plays out. He declares in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav, chapter 13, sentence 15, "Hein yikteleini lo ayachel." There are different ways to read that sentence, to read even the word lo, but the basic read of the sentence is either, even should he take my life, I will long for him, or even should he take my life, will I not long for him? Either way, Iyob is declaring his loyalty to God. And in fact, all of Iyob's protests against injustice, when he says, "I wish I could actually speak to God and demand an explanation for what's happening to me," are expressions of a fundamental belief that there is supposed to be justice, that Hashem is just and righteous. And Iyob is protesting because he says, "You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. This isn't who you're supposed to be." There's an understanding in Iyob that he wants to have a certain God, and he wants to have a certain connection with that God, so that at the end of the book, when Hashem actually addresses Iyob, he's happy. Even though Hashem offers no explanation for why he's suffering whatsoever, just the opposite. He says, "You're not going to get an explanation." Nonetheless, Iyob says, "Okay, I'm good." As long as there is communication, there's an acknowledgement of a connection, and that Hashem is somehow doing this for some reason, that's good enough for Iyob, because that's really all he wanted. And the same is true in the wake of the Churban, in the wake of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Witness the end of Eicha, the next to last sentence, "Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva." We ask Hashem, "Bring us back to you, and we will do tshuva." That's what we're looking for. We're looking to get closer to Hashem. We complain in Perek Gimel, in chapter 3, "Sasam tfilasi." Hashem has sealed off my prayer. He's not listening to me. What we're looking for is that bond that Iyob also looked for. And so to me, that's a deeper reason for why Iyob fits Tisha B'Av. Not only that it's reading that doesn't make you very happy, and not only that it's an example of a person suffering and mourning as we do on Tisha B'Av, but also because it's about this connection that we seek with Hashem. For those who are brave enough to learn Iyob on Tisha B'Av, I expect to include a link below the video to the recordings on YU Torah of Shirim I've given on the book of Iyob, and perhaps those will help. Let us recognize ourselves within Iyob, the presence of the Jew who is bereft of a Beis HaMikdash and who longs for the restoration of that relationship, and may Klal Yisrael soon be comforted among the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim.